Blog Talk Radio.
I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ.
BOCC, your mission is bring out the truth, expose these devils for the liars that they are. Shalom.
Here we go. Salvation is near, but is it clear? What are you following? The doctrine of some hollow men leading to destruction. Then what you gonna do when you realize the lies? Open up your eyes. Oh my surprise, the mission really begins in Isaiah 8:10. If they're not speaking according to scriptures, why are we listening? They say they're men of the Lord, but their Lord is Satan. Salvation forsaken, Christ the hating. The Lord is gonna stop them, cause false is the doctrine. The last days are perilous times, but we'll survive them when we ask them questions and get the right answer. Are you smarter than your pastor?
Tune in to Are You Smarter Than Your Pastors, where we examine things said by men and women claiming to be God's ministers to reveal whether or not they are speaking God's word and doing His will. Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com/the BOCC. Shalom.
Shalom up.
What was good, bro? Most High Christ bless you.
Hey, Most High Christ bless you. You hope?
Hey, Most High Christ bless you.
Yeah, Most High Christ bless you.
I can't hear anything. You both can hear anything?
No, I can't hear anything at all. Waiting for Kakum to come on.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I thought it was just me.
Yeah, me too. Hopefully it gets on soon.
Yeah. I'm trying to send him a text right now.
Yeah, I sent him a few texts.
Oh, I guess so. We can't start now without the clips.
Yeah.
That's bad. Really bad. Anybody want to do politics or something? Or do any news?
Well, I heard that Trump won the actual electoral college last night, so crap is over with, so let's see what the left is going to come up with. I know they got a few dirty tricks up their sleeve before January the 20th, so.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, what's the weather? Well, the weather's kind of, y'all brought the cold down here to Atlanta, so. It's been rainy and dreary the last, really the last week or so.
Yeah, same here in New York. It's been clear but cold.
Yeah, have you been looking at that group on Facebook lately? Yeah, the Christian Israelite. Yeah.
What about it?
Well, I was on it yesterday. Well, not yesterday, but the day before. No, it was on the Sabbath. But it's just really make you really grateful that, you know, the Most High opened your eyes to see the scriptures for what it is, you know. And I think that the people can see it, but I don't know if it's they're scared to make the jump, or they just kind of like, la, 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 I can't hear you, I can't hear you. You know, that's just that willful ignorance that a lot of people have. And I don't, you know, I'm not saying that out of, you know, trying to be arrogant or anything like that, but it's just people just willfully dismissing scripture so they can keep their tradition, which is really the gist of what we're about to go into. This man told me on Facebook that we can't keep the feast days anymore because we can't.
Okay, can y'all hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can hear you.
Y'all can hear me now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very good. I don't know what's going on. What's going on with my microphone? But I can hear y'all clear, but y'all couldn't hear me.
Okay.
So, obviously, nobody heard the intro. So we the brothers from the Body of Christ Church, and what this is a show. Is Are You Smart to Be a Pastor? Sorry for the technical difficulties, and the topic is Christmas Pagan. What we're going to do tonight is discuss the holiday Christmas. Where is it found in the Bible? Did Christ sanction it? Where did the practices, symbols, rituals associated with this holiday come from? Ecclesiastes 7, verse 13 reads, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? Exodus 20:3-4. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. So having said that, we want our people to sit back, listen to the scriptures. Like I said, again, sorry for the delay. Go right into the introductions, and then we're going to go right into it, brothers, because we already lost like 10 minutes. So Dwight from New York City, say something to the people, bro.
Hey, shalom, everyone. I hope everyone's having a good day. Hope you enjoy the show and be edified through the Spirit.
Very good. Okay, you got the brother Kabar from ATL. Say something to the people.
Shalom, brothers and sisters on the panel. Shalom to all the listeners. Hoping that both ourselves and the audience are edified through the scriptures and the understanding of Christ. Shalom.
Okay, and we got Anthony from the ATL. Say something to the people, bro.
Hey, shalom, everybody. This is Brother Anthony, and I'm glad to be on the show today or tonight, wherever you're at. So, Lord will, people get edified through the Spirit of Christ.
Right. So, basically what we're going to deal with is we taught a live class on the blog, Blog Talk, on Facebook Saturday. I want to expand because it's just a half an hour. I want to expound and expand that class through understanding and deal with the thing, this holiday called Christmas, what it's about, where it comes from. And what the people to do that's listening, or if you know someone that deals with, you know, these holidays, or you know someone that, you know, is caught up, you know, we want you to listen, and we want people to think about what it is they're dealing with, especially if you call yourself Christian and you deal with the Bible. So let's get right into it. I'm going to play a clip from a popular, it's like a social commentary show that used to come on called The Boondocks, but it's pretty much a pretty flawless breakdown of what we know as Christmas today, and it's going to, you know, break down what it's really going into. And this is well known. A lot of people are ignorant of it also, but it's a pretty well-known fact. So just listen to this description of what people celebrate today as Christmas.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And that's what Christmas is all about.
You hear that, boy? That's what Christmas is all about.
Actually, Granddad, Christmas is a pagan holiday, and Jesus probably hates you for celebrating it.
There ain't gonna be no Scrooges in this house, boy.
Look, Granddad, it's clear from the scripture that Jesus was not born in winter. The shepherds who saw the angels announcing his birth would not have been out in their fields in December. The Palestinian winters are too cold, if you believe in that sort of thing. The truth is, Christmas evolved from the Roman holiday Saturnalia, a winter festival where men gave gifts to each other. They also would get drunk, have sex with each other, and beat their wives. People would act so crazy on Christmas, the holiday was outlawed by the Protestant Church until the 1800s. As a matter of fact, the United States Congress Granddad?
I'm sorry, boy. What was that?
I just explained the entire history of Christmas.
But it was boring, Huey. You just blah, blah, gay sex, blah, blah, Congress.
So that was a pretty good, accurate depiction of both the explanation of where this celebration Christmas comes from and sometimes the response of the people that you tell this to. They don't want to hear it. But the thing about it is, if we're worried about, you know, our souls, we need to get an understanding that if we're doing something that's not right in the mindset of God, that we need to do what? We need to repent and fix it. And that's something that we need to understand. So just playing that first clip, you know, you got detractors that would say, well, we're not doing that. We, you know, when we go to grandma's house and get the turkey and the ham, there ain't no gay sex going on. It might be some gifts being exchanged, but this is not, you know, what we partake in. But I want to know is, I'll start with you first, Kabar, to start this off. What would you say to somebody that has that kind of mindset about, well, we're really not doing that? Mind you, by the way, you notice he said that it was used to be here until the Protestants outlawed it in the 1800s. And just so you know, I don't know if you knew this little where you live, your friends, the New York City Police Department, they were founded based on the riotous behavior of the Christmas celebration in the 1820s. I think it was 1821. The New York City Police Department was established based on that celebration that we call Christmas. Because one of the things he didn't explain is in the Roman times and when it was celebrated, all the laws and civility was suspended. So whatever you wanted to do, whatever lust you wanted to get off your chest, steal, rob, kill, murder, whatever, partake in. It was almost like that movie The Purge. And this was what this so-called reason for the season Christ thing that they say they do now, this is where it comes from. So, Kabar, back to the question. What would you say to somebody that's, oh, I'm not dealing with all that. I'm just, you know, going to eat some Christmas turkey and ham and you know, kiss somebody under the mistletoe. What would you say?
Well, you know, I would say this. Psalms chapter 119, verses 128. It says, therefore, I esteem thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So all that boils down to is this, is like, listen, when we in determining what's right and what's wrong, we have the scriptures to guide us, okay? And the scriptures are going to tell us what's right concerning all things. And just like the brother David, just like all the forefathers, just like Jesus Christ, the word of the Most High was what they used to determine what was good and what was evil, what was right, what was wrong, and to determine what path they should take. So once again, the scripture says, therefore, I esteem thy precepts, meaning what's written in the scriptures. Concerning all things, meaning every aspect of our life, we turn to the scriptures. It says what? To be right, meaning whatever the scriptures tell you to do and whatever you're dealing with, whatever subject it is, the guidance that the scriptures give you, that's the direction that we need to go in. And it also says what? I hate every false way, meaning we have to choose what the scripture says and reject everything else. So if I'm dealing with a person, it's like, listen, at the end of the day is it right or is it wrong according to the Bible? Now, if they don't want to hear that, then there's nothing you really can say. And I can just rattle off some scriptures to you. Proverbs 1:22 tells you that fools hate knowledge. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6 tell you not to cast your pearls before a swine, and Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 8 tell you not to reprove a scorner. So if a person simply does not believe the Bible, does not believe in God, doesn't believe in adhering to the word, then there's nothing really to say to that person, and you leave them alone. Other than that, let's turn to the scriptures and see what God has to say, and let's go in that direction.
Very good, very good. Okay, Dwight, I'm going to talk the same thing to you. What would you say to a person that's involved in, you know, you telling them, hey, listen, do you know what this comes from? You know, it's steeped in just straight wickedness and, you know, idolatrous practices, which we'll get into a little bit later, and some things because they talk about Saturnalia. And they tell you, well, you know, because we've all been there. Kabar, you were raised circumcision, so you never dealt with Christmas, but the rest of us on the phone, we dealt with Christmas when we were younger. Whether we got coals in the sock or, you know, a big salt lump for Christmas or whatever, we still had to deal with the whole thing surrounding it. But when you deal with people about this issue, because it's such a long-standing tradition, burned like an indelible marker in the minds of our people, and then you say, well, because you can Google what we just played about Saturnalia and this, the origins of Christmas. You could Google it. You could fact check it. You could probably even check it through Snopes. That's the new one. But anyway, what would you say to somebody that's not – that's not, imagine that. We're going to let a fat cat and a couple with a fat cat tell us what's right. Anyway, I digress. What would you tell them, Dwight, when they say that, oh, we really ain't dealing with this? We're dealing with, you know, the food and fellowshipping, and, you know, it's a time for Thanksgiving and being generous and, you know, taking in the homeless, you know, in from the cold. What would you say?
No. Man, I haven't really dealt with this in years because pretty much people in my circle know. But even on my job, you know, they pretty much call me Scrooge. So those conversations are really, like, you know, long and gone. But, you know, when you try to, you know, tell them the origins, it's pretty much what you heard on the clip. You know, there's like blah, blah, blah. But that's not why I do it. You know, it's, you know, it's a celebration. It's time to come together. You know, it's a family orientation type, you know, situation or atmosphere. You know, pretty much like Kabar pretty much covered it. You can't really say much to them. You know what I mean? You try to go through the scriptures and you ask them, like, well, show me the scriptures where that is. Bro, you know, it's not about that. It's about Jesus. Okay, well, the Bible talks about Jesus. Well, you know, I'm not getting into that, you know what I mean? And then they just pretty much, you know, because then it's going to go into a, you know, debate or a little argument, so I just pretty much leave it alone, you know, after years of trials and error. So, you know, just, you know, Kabar pretty much covered it, though. You know, he pretty much leaves those people alone. You know, so.
All right, okay. So, all right, so now, this is what I'm going to do, right? I'm going to leave Anthony, if you want to go back on and say something on that, Anthony, I'll go back to it, but I want to play another clip because what we got now is we got a clip with Pat Robertson, and he's given an answer to a question about what we just asked. What would you say to people that deal with Christmas, and some people say that you're not supposed to celebrate it? So we want to hear his understanding of it because now remember I said and mentioned already, it's pretty world-renowned, understood knowledge that the holiday is steeped in pagan practices, and we'll deal with that. But now, just check this out, right?
This is David, who says, we have friends who do not celebrate Christmas because they say December 25th is really a pagan holiday. While I agree that Jesus may not have been born on December 25th, he certainly was born as described in the Bible. How do I respond to them?
Well, in a sense, tell them they're right. You see, the winter solstice, a couple of days later, was the shortest day of the year, and the pagans had something called Saturnalia, and it was a time of lawlessness because all the laws were suspended, and people, a bunch of singers were actually wandered the streets naked singing. And then they had orgies, sexual orgies. It was a mass thing. Well, when the Catholic Church came along in Italy, the Romans and others didn't want to give up their holidays, so they said, okay, we'll Christianize it. And so they said, okay, we'll say the birth of Jesus was the 25th of December. And then there was a monk who began to add it up. You see, if you read in Luke, it says there's a census taken when Quirinius was governor and so forth and so on. And they could take those leaders and figure the exact time dating from the foundation of Rome. And that's when the dates were established. And so they get pretty close to the date. But to say it's the 25th, shepherds were out abiding in the field. It gets a little cold at night. I mean, were they out there in the middle of winter? I don't know. I've been out there in the shepherd's field on Christmas Eve. It's very nice. But it's cold. And nevertheless, I mean, what was going on? So all this business about mistletoe, pagan. Christmas trees, pagan. Giving out gifts, pagan. Every bit of it is pagan. Every single bit of it is pagan. We've Christianized it all. And so that's good. And so we have time. We celebrate for Jesus. Everybody gets all misty-eyed. But the truth is, they're all pagan. But the birth
the
of Jesus.
But the intent of the heart is what it's about.
Exactly. So we have Christianized all these things. We give gifts in the name of Jesus. We celebrate his birthday. And it's a nice thing.
So you heard Pat Robertson, 700 Club, explain that he understands, and it's like pretty much understood throughout the world that this holiday, even Christians, so-called, some may be ignorant, but a lot of Christians understand that this thing is steeped in pagan practices. Now let me read something real quick. The adjective pagan means relating to pagan. Synonyms: heathen, ungodly, irreligious, infidel, idolatrous, right? So that's what we have to understand, that this thing is steeped in those things. Now, Anthony, one of the things that, you know, the Catholic Church did come and Christianize it is the ecumenical kind of like doctrine that they have, where they're going to absorb all peoples into one religion. But when they were doing that, what they were doing was they were absorbing some of the heathenistic or pagan practices surrounding some of these days. That's why we got some of the trimmings of pagans mixed into this particular holiday. So now, when you really look at it, the term Pat Robertson used is Christianized. The Catholic Church uses that term. They'll Christianize something, meaning taking something that's evil or filthy and cleaning it up and making it right. Now, I'm asking you, Anthony, and then I'll go back to DeWatt on this same thing. According to the scriptures, is there any justification for us to be able to take something that is corrupt or evil in the eyes of the Most High and make it clean for our use to worship him as something precious and righteous in his sight?
No, you can't Christianize it.
Okay.
And the reason why you can't do it, because it's corrupt, and you can't take something that's corrupt and try to make it holy. Let me go to a scripture. This is Ecclesiastes in the Bible, chapter 1, verse 15. And it says, that which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. So you can't take something that was steeped in paganism, a tradition, a custom that goes long before Jesus Christ, and try to make it something holy, something righteous, and something that is Christian. So if you're saying that it's Christian, then I'm supposed to read something in the New Testament that Christ kept it. But when you read the New Testament, you don't read about Christ keeping so-called Christmas. But I'll tell you one thing that he did keep. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26, and I'm going to read verse 17. It says, now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and saying to him, the Master Christ saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. So if you're going to Christianize something, you're inferring that it's of Christ. And when you read the works of Jesus Christ never kept Christmas at all. But he did keep the feast days. That's mentioned in mainly Leviticus 23 and throughout the scriptures. That's what he kept, and that's what should be Christianized, so to speak. But people rather Christianize paganism rather than Christianize the feast days that the Most High told his people to keep. So I'm going to go to 1 Peter 2 and 21 on that whole Christianization aspect. It says, 1 Peter 2 and 21, it says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. And it says, verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So that guile is going into deceit and trickery, which is all what Christmas is going into, that deceit and trickery. Because the world knows that it's paganism, like in the clip Pat Robertson. So this is not our spin. So you got a renowned Christian pastor who's admitting that it's paganism. And even though, you know, Pat Robertson says a lot of nutty things, but he is right on that issue. But then later on in the clip, they say, well, you know, the intent of the heart. Well, the Most High is not dealing with the heart. He's dealing with your action in his word and your actions based on his word. I'm going to go to about that whole heart thing. This is Matthew 15 and verse 19. It says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. So the Heavenly Father is, through Christ is saying, for out of the heart perceive evil things. So you can't justify it. Well, you know, I know it. I know Christmas is bad, but it's about the intent of the heart. That's what matters. The Most I say, your heart is evil. Because what is Christmas going into? Fornication, which is, well, spiritual fornication, which is idolatry. And it says blasphemy. You saying that Christ was born on Christmas, that's straight up blasphemy. Because you're not going to read that in the Bible. You're not going to read that in the New Testament. So the Heavenly Father, you know, what would I do if, you know, if somebody came to me about Christmas? First of all, I'll tell them a little short, you know, history about the secular history behind Christmas. And then I'll go straight into the scriptures that I pulled, Matthew 26 and 17. I will talk about 1 Peter 2 and 21 about following Christ's steps. Now, they also brought something about family. You know, I heard y'all mention about, well, you know, because that's one of the major things that trip people up about Christmas. Well, it's a family gathering. It's family, family, family. Let's go to Matthew 10, and this will be my final scripture for this segment. Matthew 10, verse 37. And it says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth daughter, son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow not after me is not worthy of me. So we can't get into that whole family thing, because that rebuttal is designed to get you on some guilt trip so you get emotional. And when you get emotional, then you put the Most High's word aside and you start following what your family. You can't follow what your family did. Remember, Abraham had to leave his family and go into the land where the Most High had prepared for him. So your family's going to be doing one thing, but the Heavenly Father and his son, Jesus Christ, is guiding us to something else, which is his word. Christmas is not of his word. Thanksgiving, Easter, you know, I have a lot of people in my family, and, you know, I know a lot of you brothers have a lot of people in your family that still keep these days. We can't follow, we still love them, but we can't follow what they do. We got to follow what the Father says. So that's how I would handle it, and that's how I've been handling it for the last 15 to 16 years being in this ministry, and thank the Most High for his wisdom.
Right, exactly. So before I pass it on to you, Dewan, I just want to bring out a point of reference. You said something about the secular history, and it's a good time to really deal with some of the secular history on Saturnalia. It sounds like a nice, harmless, pretty name, but really what it is an honor to the god Saturn. Basically, and he is the Roman god of time and feasts. He's got the, what do you call that thing, the razor sickle-like thing in his hand. That's why you see on New Year's, you see the old man with the white beard with the scythe and the baby. And the reason you see the god Saturn with the baby, he's nothing but the reincarnation of the god Molech. That Molech was by another nation in their time that they worship him. He was one of the cruel gods that was developed and worshipped by these nations that required child sacrifice. That's why you see Father Time with the baby. That's what was being dealt with this god Saturn. Among the things of, they keep it clean when they explain it according to the world, but some of the practices that they would engage in is they would have child sacrifices, and the red balls that hang on the so-called Christmas tree is akin to the severed heads of babies that they would hang on the trees back in the time of Rome, because it would have to be a blood human child sacrifice. And that's what they did. That's why the balls are red. The red balls symbolize the bleeding baby's head. So this is the thing that what is connected to this whole Christmas thing. Now, when you deal with the riotous, just perverse behavior too, that's connected to it. Those were all things. The mistletoe, that was all garbage. Also, too, it wasn't an innocent, just back then, a kiss. And the Christmas carolers back in Roman times were buck-naked. That's what they did. They roamed around in the streets singing songs, drunk, naked as hell. So when you want to know, this is what your the origins of this thing that you celebrate, that you claim is of Christ. So we need to get the whole gory story about what it is we're dealing with. And then we need to consider what it is we're doing. So, Dewan, I'm going to pass that question on to you about can we clean it up according to scriptures. I know Anthony did it. If you want to add on to it, we'll add on to it. If not, we'll just continue on with some of the worldly justifications. Go ahead, bro.
I'll add on to it. He did a tremendous
okay.
job.
Okay.
Just adding to what he was bringing out, which is all true. I'm gonna start at Proverbs, the third chapter, verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." And that's a problem with a lot of people that say they believe in the Bible. If you're calling yourself a Christian, you know, whatever type of follower of Christ, a lot of people have a hard time trusting in the Lord. And the reason why I say that is because if you come out the scriptures as far as what the words, what the Most High said and what Christ instructed us to do, a lot of people have a hard time believing that. You know, as far as like he was, you know, the brother was saying before, as far as the feast days of the Most High that he set up, people always have excuses on why we don't have to keep them. That was in the Old Testament. Christ is the end of the law. He nailed it to the cross when he died. Okay, but do you really understand what all that meant? But when they come up with these, you know, national holidays that America celebrates, and a lot of other countries, which is Christmas, people tend to gravitate more towards that than they do the Bible. So are they really trusting in the Most High? So you see by their actions that they really don't, because he said that, Pat Roberts said, listen, yeah, he wasn't born on the 25th, but then at the end of what his little soliloquy, he was like, but we do worship him on his birthday. So are you saying he was born, or are you saying he wasn't? Which one was it? So you see how he, like the brother brought out, there was no God in Christ? There's a lot of God and deceit in a lot of these people that proclaim to be pastors, leaders of Christianity. But the scriptures say here, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. And that's the problem you have today, because you have a lot of people saying that, well, we're doing it for the intent, purposes of just to be good Christians. Okay, really? Well, let's keep reading. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
Wow.
That is a problem. A lot of people lack that faith when it comes to the scriptures, when it comes to Christ. People don't think you're not doing anything if you're not physically giving somebody some food, clothing. You know, they say, well, you're not really a good Christian. When's the last time you ever fed somebody that's hungry or you ever gave anybody money that needed it? It's not like we have to prove ourselves to anyone out here. We trust in the Most High to give us the understanding on how to be a follower of Christ. I'm going to get to that because I'm going to read the one last verse here. It says, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's the problem. People think, like you said before, the question was, can you Christianize Christmas? That's being wise in your own eyes. You're trying to establish some type of righteousness that the Most High condemned and said it was evil, but you're saying that, don't worry about it. We're doing it for the right intent purposes. Well, the Most High never established that. He never said to celebrate that. And now let's go to what Christ said. We're going to go to John, the 8th chapter, and I'm going to start at 31. John 8:31. It said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So why did he say that? Because you had a lot of Jews that trusted in the law of Moses back then. I'm not getting off topic. I'm just showing you how they try to establish their own righteousness. When you read Matthew, the 15th chapter, they try to establish the doctrines of men over the doctrines of the Most High. So it shows they never trusted in the Most High. They trusted in themselves. And he said, you go to establish your own righteousness and disavow the Most High's laws. It's the same thing now. They try to establish their own righteousness, saying, well, you know, I'm doing it for right intent purposes. It's the intent of my heart that I'm giving gifts or whatever to my family, whatever.
Right.
But this is the problem. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse, I'm going to start at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The reason why I pull this is because what you see out here, especially like the younger children, like when my children were growing up, I had to, give them ammunition or armor them up with the word of the Most High so they can fight the temptations that are out here. It didn't have to be nothing physical as far as lust is concerned, but when my children were coming to school, they were getting presents. Other children were getting presents and they weren't. So I have to explain to them how that was wrong according to the scriptures, how the Most High blesses us in other ways than what you see when they have one day. And then after that, it's done away with. Because after Christmas, does anybody have that Christmassy spirit and they want to start giving to people? And they don't do that. That's being hypocritical. Well, I'm going to keep reading. Verse 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And strongholds are these lies and deceptions that they talk about these holidays. Not just Christmas, but New Year's, Father's Day, Mother's Day, Valentine's, stuff like that. But this is the point here. I'm going to get to the point. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of the Most High. We just heard it. We're casting down through the scriptures. Those that are true believers of the Most High in Christ are casting down those imaginations because that's you trusting in your own heart. And that's your imagination. That's your opinion, the Most High's word. It says, casting down everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of the Most High and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is the problem right there. Nobody wants to be obedient to the word of the Most High. They want to establish their own righteousness. The brother brought it out in 2 Peter, that Christ was the standard that we must live by when there's no guile in our mouth. So we can't say we proclaim it to be followers of Christ and say, well, you know, I worship Christmas. Where's that in the Bible? Yeah. It's not there, but it's my heart. That's hypocritical. And that's the problem with our people. That's the problem with people that say they Christians and say they follow Christmas. That's it.
Right. Very good. That's very good points you brought out. So, Kabar, I think they pretty much beat that one up. I just want to move on to We downloaded some clips of some of the worldly excuses from a group that's got a YouTube page. They go by the name of inspiringphilosophies.org. Apologetics, philosophy, and science is what they deal with. So basically, I'm gonna get you to respond, Kabar, to this clip. Then I'm gonna go to Dawad on it. I want you to listen to this clip, and I got some questions about some of the things that's being said. And if it's something in the clip that I don't ask you, but you want to bring out, Dawad and Kabar and Anthony, feel free to do that. So just listen to this clip, and we want everybody to pay attention now. This is a group that justifies the fact that it's okay for Christians. Well, that's a whole hypocrisy in itself, because all a Christian means is you're a follower of Christ. And we know Christ was totally meek and sold out to the Word. So if it was not in the Word, he didn't do it. If it was in the Word, he did it. So, you know, just keep that in mind, but I want people to listen to this clip, understanding that this clip is from a group that justifies celebrating Christmas. So just listen to this.
That just because something is offered to a so-called God, that doesn't mean it has any real power. God created everything for good, and just because someone may try to corrupt a tree or meat, that doesn't mean they were successful. Remember, God made the pine trees, the mistletoe, the rabbit, the egg, and many other things pagans possibly have used in their worship ceremonies. Just because it means something to a pagan, that doesn't mean that it's what it also means to God. Some try to suggest that because the Bible does not specifically command the celebration of the Messiah's birthday, then we should not celebrate it anyway. Well, gee, the Bible doesn't say we should drive cars, speak English, or watch videos on the internet, but that doesn't seem to stop most people. If you really only think you can do things the Bible specifically mentions, then I expect you to live like an ancient Jew and give up all your modern technology. So good luck dealing with disease and sanitation. Another bad argument is that because our society has turned Christmas into such a materialistic holiday, that it must be satanic and avoided at all costs. But this doesn't make sense. Just because sinful people have corrupted a holiday, that doesn't mean we completely abandon it. People have corrupted sex, clothes, food, money, marriage, and many other things. Should we also abandon them? Or just the perverted versions of them? In 1 Corinthians, we hear that Paul has to correct the Corinthian church on the Lord's Supper because they have turned it into a gluttonous feast. Yet Paul doesn't say that because they messed it up, that no one can partake in communion now. That would be absurd. So just because some people have turned Christmas into a materialistic holiday and lost its true meaning, that doesn't mean we have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We can use this time to remember the birth of our Savior, as the holiday was intended.
Okay, so first off, the guy really, really tripped himself up. He says we can use the celebration as the birth of our Savior as the holiday was intended. But when you check the history, as we stated, on the holiday, what was the intent of the holiday? To worship the birth of the Savior or to worship another God? Kabar.
Well, the intent of the holiday itself, because it had its origin in the pagan Roman festival of Saturnalia, it had nothing to do with, you know, anything godly. It was all pagan. It was pure debauchery and wickedness. I mean,
exactly.
We could go into, if people, you know, we mentioned the word Saturnalia, just Google it. It'll take you days to go through all the information. But the thing is, I mean, you learn about just some of the things that we can tell you about happened, you know, murder, fornication, rape, adultery, incest. I mean, you can, anything that entered into your wicked mind, you were permitted to do. And like brothers reference,
go ahead.
And like brothers referenced earlier, the day was so insane. I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna give you a modern day version of it. And this is what we begin to see in America today. You just got people who just want to return to the traditions of their forefathers, Europeans and other people who want to return to the traditions of their forefathers. You have a movie that was very famous, and there's two parts to it now. It's called The Purge. The Purge is just Saturnalia. It's a suspension of the Purge is just a suspension of all laws, and you can do whatever you want. They literally, in Rome, 2nd century into the 3rd and 4th century, the celebration of Saturnalia were just what today we look at a movie and call The Purge. That's what they did. Anything that you saw in that movie, they was able to do it and more. So, you know, the guy wants to say, well, listen, he runs his mouth, and at the end he said, well, Christmas has lost its true meaning. You know, they commercialized it, but it's a time for us to remember the birth of our Savior. Is it?
Right. Yeah,
number
right.
one, he cannot. Go ahead.
No, but I wanted to get into the question, though, about it. I just brought that tidbit up because I thought it was interesting at the end of the clip how he tried to say the true meaning of Christmas. We know what the true meaning of Christmas, and it ain't had nothing to do with the birth of the Savior. So, you know, the point is what he's doing is he's using, like, a lot of logic. Like, he's saying just because the God did not command that we keep Christmas, there's a lot of things that we do that God didn't command, like driving cars and watching Netflix. This is his reasoning. The thing that I want to get at is, too, I want to go into that, the why I touched a little bit about going into your understanding. But I want to delve into that mindset again on what is wrong with that kind of mindset to try to make it fit your desire, something that you're trying to put on the Lord. Do we have the authority, or did the Most High give us allowances to do that, Kabir? That's my question.
No, absolutely not. I can go to, you know what, let me start off with this, because 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, I just go to the point. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21, because he wants to use logic and logic statements, and they're extremely poor at that, because he starts to compare two different things. But anyway, to try to justify, well, we can use this time to remember the birth of our Savior when there's no way to connect the birth of the Savior to this time. So I don't even know how he achieves that. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, it tells you, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. So the scriptures tell you, you have to prove all things. So if you're saying we're going to use Christmas to remember the birth of the Savior, how do you prove that Christ was born on December 25th? You can't. It's nowhere in the scriptures. You have Luke 2, 7, and 8 that tells you that the shepherds were abiding in the field, which they wouldn't do in the wintertime. Luke 2, 1 through 4, that tells you that the census was going on at that time, in which they normally held the census in the spring and the summer months. But anyway, the scriptures tell you have to prove all things. Romans chapter 3, and I start at verse 3 and verse 4, it says, Romans 3 and 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Meaning, if you have those who don't adhere to or believe the scriptures, is that going to have any effect on the word of the Most High or what he's going to carry out? The scripture says what? Verse 4, God forbid. Absolutely not. It also says this, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. So if you put the two scriptures together and you have to prove all things, then if the person can't show you out of the scriptures whether that thing is true or not, then he automatically is a liar. God is true. So if a person, unless you can prove it out of the scriptures, you're a liar. So the thing is, the scripture says, yea, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written. This is why we have to prove all things out of the scriptures. It says, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. how is this man going to be justified in his saying when he says that we can use December 25th to remember our Lord and Savior when he wasn't born on December 25th and you can't prove that? How are you going to be justified in that? And when the judgment of the Lord comes, when Christ comes to judge the quick and the dead, and Christ asks you, how do you justify saying, I was born on December 25th and that's not written and it is a lie? What's going to happen? You're going to receive the judgment, which is damnation, because you're blaspheming against the scripture. That's why we don't add to the word of the Lord or subtract, because there is a judgment coming. And the judgment is going to, every vain word Christ said it out of his mouth, every vain word that you speak, you're going to have to account for it. So unless you can prove it out of the scriptures, leave it alone.
Right. Very good. Very good. Okay, Dwight, I'm going to toss it over to you now. He said also in a clip, and I want you to touch on this. He said that the Most High created the tree, the pine tree, the rabbits, the whatever the things that they're using and worshiping, so it's all good. My question is does the Most High give us instruction as far as to use things that he created, nature, in nature, the sun, the moon, trees, rabbits, four-footed beasts, or whatever? Does he give us some indication that we're not supposed to use those things in reference to worshiping him according to his will?
Yeah, the Ten Commandments.
Okay, I asked the question for a reason.
All right, well, hold on, let me get it. Exodus 20?
Yeah, but see, now, he just plainly said it's all good because the Most High made it anyway. So we just use it to worship him and his son and reverence the birth of the Christ. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to read it. Exodus 20 and verse 3. I says, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So they might say, well, I'm not bowing down and worshiping it, but you're still giving reverence to it by saying that, well, he was born on this day. You know, we have to give gifts. You know, the intent is like, what did the Boondocks thing, like, was that saying go for the heart of all men, that, you know, we all come together and, you know, believe and all that stuff?
Peace and goodwill. Peace and goodwill
peace
to
and
all
the men. Well, I'm gonna give you an example. I'm gonna give you an example of why it was so important that when the Most High wrote this down, when we just read here, thou shalt not make any graven image. Because you would ask a question when the transfiguration happened, right? Moses and Elijah were what, 1,000 years before the New Testament? How did Peter know what Moses and Elijah looked like? Must have been an image, right? They must, you know what I mean? Like, they have to have seen him or known of him, or was it put in his mind by the Most High to know who that was? That's, you know, it's a question, right? But I'm going to go to a situation that happened in the Old Testament, right? Because a lot of people like to quote John 3:16, that God saved the world, you know, God so loved the world, right? But this is what happened, and why, when you read 14 and 15, why the Most High said that. When you go to Numbers 21, and I'm going to start at verse 5, and the people spake against God and Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathes for this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one of them that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Right? So Moses made a brass serpent, and when the people looked upon it, when they were obedient to what the and they trusted in the Lord and what, you know, he told Moses to tell them, those that looked upon it were healed. Well, let's see what these same people did when, let's go to 2 Kings 18. That's why the Most High knew what he was talking about. 2 Kings 18. Hold on, let me get it. 2 Kings 18. That's why the Most High said we're not supposed to have any graven images, because what you see today is what the Most High tried to avoid 3,000 years ago. 2 Kings 18 and verse 4. This is Hezekiah. He was a righteous king, and he was taking out all the graven images. But we're gonna read what he did and what the people were doing. Verse 4. And he removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. So they were paying, they were giving reverence to that same brass serpent, not remembering the reason why he had to make it, but they were saying, listen, this brass serpent has some type of power that it healed the people, not knowing why it was made and for what purpose. No different, the question you asked, the purpose of the sun, the moon, the trees, the pigs, the fish in the sea, everything has its purpose that the Most High set up. But the people, right, in their own vain imaginations, in their own justification, in their own so-called righteousness or their own wisdom, say, well, what's the harm of having a tree? Didn't the Most High make trees? Right. Yeah, you idiot. for carbon dioxide, so when we breathe out, it absorbs it and we can have fresh air. Not for you to worship it. So,
or set it up,
yeah,
and decorate it.
Huh?
Or set it up and decorate it and say this is a symbol associated with the Savior's birth.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Yeah, that's very good. That's very good. Very good. I forgot about that story, but that's very good, because that's what happens with the minds of people when you go into things like Christmas and, you know, because none of the, basically he's making analogies based on, like, common reasoning. Like, he's an attorney in court, like a civil case, trying to give a preponderance of the evidence to weigh it back to his side on his case. But there is no case with the Most High. What the Most High has established is that's it. And that's what we have to remember. Anthony, I'll give you a chance to do cleanup on any of the things that we discussed. You got anything? Or if not, we'll move on to something else.
I guess one quick scripture is, uh-huh, the spirit came out, because Dwight had the same scripture I had. But this is Romans 1 and 25.
This is referencing
the idol gods and
the
paganism. Because remember, because a lot of times people bring out Romans 1 to bring out the homosexuality, which it is talking about.
Right.
But it starts off with idolatry. This is Romans 1 and 25. It says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever? Amen. So this whole Christmas thing is about turning, taking the Most High's creation and putting it above the creator. And how are you doing that? By forgetting his commandments. So here it is, you keeping Christmas, and you done forgot about the Lord's Passover. You forgot about the Lord's Feast of Tabernacles. You forgot about the Feast of First Fruits. You forgot about all the new moons, even the regular seventh-day Sabbath. Oh, no, don't keep the Sabbath on a Sunday. So you're taking, which is based off of, Sunday is based off of the sun worship, that Christianity, another Christianity, Christianized holiday. Let me read it again. Mm. It says, who changed the truth of God into a lie? So what's the truth of God? His word, his scriptures, his commandments, his laws, statutes, commandments. And you turn that into a lie by teaching blasphemy. Oh, well, Christmas is Christ's birthday. Where that says that nowhere, when you read Matthew 1, it tells you about the birth of Jesus Christ, that he was born in a manger, wise men came to see him and gave him frankincense and myrrh.
That was it. The Lord didn't say, hey, on the 25th day of the 12th month, at even, you should have Christmas. And it shall be a solemn assembly throughout your generations. Santa Claus will come down the chimney and give you milk and cookies. Whosoever don't keep Christmas shall be put to death. His blood shall be upon him. You don't read where the Most High said anything like that in the New. Oh, by the way, this is Jesus' birthday, December 25th. No, all that stuff goes back to paganism. And the Lord, let's be clear, the Lord don't care about a pine tree or an egg or anything like that. He cares about you taking the creation, and now you created a religion behind it. You created a philosophy or a doctrine behind why you do such ritualistic practices. The Lord don't care about you putting so-called decorations around a tree. It's about the customs and the religions, the why you putting the decoration around the tree. Why are you doing that? Why do you do it during this time of the year? All that goes back into a custom or a practice that was practiced thousands of years ago. So It goes back to not the scriptures. It goes back to paganism and idolatry. And you can't erase it no matter how much you try to philosophize your way out of it. That's why they call it inspiring philosophy. Because they're gonna sit down and pontificate about why the Most High didn't say what he actually said. Well, to them, left is right, right is left. But we got to stick to the word of the Heavenly Father. So I could bring out Wisdom of Solomon 14. You know, let me just bring that out real quick, and that'll be my last one for this segment. The definition of idolatry. If I can find it. This is Wisdom of Solomon chapter 14. Here it is. In verse 12. It says, for the devising, this is Wisdom of Solomon 14 and 12. For the devising of idols was the beginning of spiritual fornication, and the invention of them, the corruption of life. So again, the Lord don't care about a tree or a piece of wood or stone. He created all of that. But he cares about you taking these objects, these so-called innocent objects, and creating a religion or a doctrine behind it. Because that starts the corruption of life, the invention of them, idols, the corruption of life. I'm going to jump down to verse 27, Wisdom of Solomon 14 and 27. It says, for the devising of idols not to be named is the beginning, cause, and the end of all evil. So what comes out of idolatry is nothing great. And to back up what the brother Kabar said about all the fornications that Christmas derived under, yeah, they're trying to go back under it, because when you try to work and try to make an honest living, they throw in this Christmas stuff in your face, and they invite you to a lot of these Christmas parties. What goes on at these Christmas parties? Is it remembering Christ, or is it about fornication, drunkenness, lewdness, wild sex, and partying, you know, seeing a side of people that you never thought you'd see before, but I thought it was so Christian. But why these Christmas parties, you got all this wild sex and fornication and drunkenness at some of these Christmas parties? They about to release a movie based on that, Office Christmas Party. So all this stuff goes back into paganism and fornication. The Most High's Holy Days does not go into fornication. It goes into his word, and it goes into Jesus Christ. So that was it.
Very good. Very good. Very good. So listen, we're going to get ready to deal with this. I'm going to go to DeWatt on this next one after this clip we're going to play. It's a very pointed thing I want to bring out in this last clip we're going to play for tonight. And I want you brothers to start thinking about your closing statements after you deal with this question and wrap it up, and I'll take it, and then we'll bid our audience an adieu for the night. But this clip right here is something I want people to really get, because like you said, you know, inspiring philosophy, you know, going to have a lot of rhetoric behind things that are so crystal clear and plain in the scriptures. But everybody listen to this last clip here for the night, and pay close attention to the questions that he asked.
The anti-Christmas crowd is just looking for anything remotely similar and using it to jump to the conclusion that the harmless traditions of Christmas are somehow a sin to God. I would love any anti-Christmas Christian to please explain to me how it is sinful to decorate a pine tree in my living room. What moral law am I breaking? Just because some pagan somewhere may have used something similar as part of a pagan practice, that doesn't mean that is what we are doing. But some say it doesn't matter what it means to you, what matters is what it means to God. And this just represents a level of stupidity that is hard for me to fathom. Let me get this straight. When someone says, it doesn't matter if you think Christmas traditions are harmless, they are offensive to God. They are essentially saying, God is so insecure that if a pagan somewhere on earth uses an object that God made as part of their worship, then Christians must forever run from this object because it is now forever tainted and can never be used for good. Is that what they're telling us? First of all, how do they know it means something evil to God now? Did God come down and speak with them directly and tell them how offensive pine trees are now? What moral law does using a pine tree break? How does the act of decorating encourage sin? And let's remember who made the trees to begin with. Just because Satan can twist and corrupt something, that doesn't mean that is what it permanently means to God.
Okay, so you heard her say the big question is, how is it sinful to decorate a tree, or what moral law is he breaking? Is God insecure that, you know, he has an objection to you using something that he created to deal with him thus and this? And also, how do you know it's wicked that God come down and explain it to you? So, Dwight, the two questions I got surrounding this is, okay, so he asked what moral law, because he probably doesn't believe that the definition of sin exists, but what is he, like, what is the transgression for dealing with Christmas in the eyes of the Most High according to his word? And how do we get understanding? Do we need God to come talk to us personally to tell us? What do we use to get understanding on what's right and what's wrong, what's pleasing and what's not in the eyes of the Most High? Go ahead, Dwight.
Well, I'll answer it, not in that order, but I'll start off with this one, Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So obviously he's just talking the talk and, you know, trying to sound like, you know, he sounds like one of those, what my children call SJW, social justice warriors. Everything is, you know, everything's wrong and they gotta, you know, they fighting for things that nobody cares about, but to them it's important. And it seems like, you know, like when I heard this, it sounded like, yo, this is the kind of gentler Satan. You know, he's coming more, you know, more deceitful and like, why? But how's it wrong? And, you know, what's so wrong about being gay and, you know, setting up a tree, you know, all that other nonsense. Well, scripture says to the launch of the testimony, they speak not according to this word, because he's not speaking according to the word of the Bible, because that's how the Most High came down and spoke to us personally,
right?
Because when we read it, he's personally speaking to us. It's a lot. This book is alive. It actually speaks to us. Like the scripture saying, Hebrews 4:12, it says the word of the Lord is a two-edged sword, cutting aside the descendants, stuff like that. So understand, when we read it, when we're trying to change our lives, this is the thing that changes us. These words make us, you know, like Christ said, that, you know, these words that I speak to you, they are life, and they, you know, and they give life, and they, you know, I'm messing it up, but you know what I'm saying. So how is he saying that, you know, how do we know that the Most High spoke to? The Most High spoke to through the word of through the Bible. So,
right.
So now how do we know that? Because how is it a sin? Like you asked the question for 1 John 3:4. It says, whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. What do we read in Isaiah 8:20? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So the light that it's talking about is Christ. Christ is the light of life. So how can he say that? How can he make those type of statements and not pull any scripture proving what he's saying? Brother brought it out before in Romans 3:4. Let the Most High be true and every man a liar. And he keeps going back to this tree, and how is it I'm going to read one scripture real quick in Acts, my last scripture. Acts 17, because this is the point here, and this is what people refuse to understand and don't want to understand, because how they say it's a sin, it's a sin because you read in Exodus 20, should I make any graven image? Well, you don't have to make it. The Most High made it for you already, right? But like Brother Anthony said, well, what gives you the right to go down and worship it? But let's read this scripture. Hopefully you get a better understanding of what the scriptures are saying. This is Acts 17:29. It says, "For as much then as we are the offspring of the Most High, we ought not to think that the Godhead, meaning Christ, is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art or man's device." Or man's device. So a man's device, whether it be something crafted or something he thought of, like his imagination, a tree, that's not the Godhead bodily. That's not Christ. In no means is that Christ. So how can you say that? And this is verse 30. It says, "And the ties of this ignorance God winked at." So just like you started, we as children, when we were brought up in Christmas, thinking that this was something of celebration towards Christ. And when we came to understand it, what did it say? "But at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent." To repent of this ignorance. If you're doing it in ignorance or if you're doing it willingly, check this out. Verse 31, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained." So if you're saying that in the day of judgment, I celebrated your birthday on December 25th, he's going to ask you, okay, where's that? When did I say that? By the standard of Christ, you're going to be considered a liar. So this is something to ponder, something to meditate on. If that's a burden or if that's a struggle for you to put this away, the Most High is going to wink at your ignorance. But at the day of judgment, the Godhead bodily, which is Christ, is not wood and stone, gold or silver, or a tree or anything else of your own imagination. That's what you're going to be. That's the standard you're going to be judged by. So you better repent, because the Most High gave us that chance now. That's it.
Right. All right, I'm going to toss it over to you, Anthony. Same point. Does the Most High have to come tap us on the shoulder and talk to us personally to get understanding on the do's and the don'ts? And what is he morally, he said moral law, but we know he's going against the commandments. How is he going against the commandments and what he's doing? Go ahead.
Yeah. I want to go into 2 Ezra chapter 7 about, you know, first of all, the Heavenly Father don't have to come out of the sky and physically tell us anything. He gave us his word, and he gave us the prophets, and he gave us his son, Jesus Christ. So this is 2 Ezra 7 in verse 21. It says, "For God has given straight commandments to such as came, what they should do to live even as they came, and what they should do to avoid punishment." And for those of you who don't have the Apocrypha, you can just simply Google Apocrypha and Google the scriptures that I've quoted. It's free of charge, you know. So the Heavenly Father gave us straight commandment about what we should be doing. We don't need the Heavenly Father, and you really don't want the Heavenly Father to speak to you directly when you read the scriptures in Exodus about the children of Israel wandering through the wilderness, and that they were scared at the voice of the Lord. But we got the Lord's voice right here in his word, the testimony of Jesus Christ. The brother brought it out that if they speak not according to this word, there is no life in it. So we refer back to the scriptures because this is the book of life. This is the light that we have to follow in this world of darkness. So we don't need the Most High to come off, you know, out of the sky or wherever to personally tell us anything, because he gave us his word, he gave us his prophets. Now, he mentioned something about the insecurity. If we teach against Christmas, we somehow saying that the Most High is insecure. Now, the definition of insecure is not confident or being assured. And we can know that the Most High is very confident in his word because he gave it to us. This is Exodus 20 and 5. It says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." So the Most High is not insecure, but I'll tell you one thing. He is a jealous God, and he does take offense when you take so-called innocent objects and create a religion and a philosophy behind why you do certain things and certain rituals at certain times of the year that goes against his word. That's why I started off saying right. that he gave us the word. He gave us the commandments of what we're supposed to be doing, not traditional men. Now, I wanted to bring out something because this is the philosophy that a lot of the justification, and I pulled this up off of Wikipedia, and the reason why I went there because there was a brother who was teaching on YouTube a long time ago against Christmas, had all the scriptures and everything, and you had one of these Christians come up and try to defend Christmas, and he was like, if you're saying that Christmas comes from idolatry, that's a genetic fallacy. So I'm like, wait a minute, what's that? So I looked it up, you know, I looked it up years ago, but I pulled it up off of Wikipedia. And this is the mentality that, whether they notice or not, this is the mentality of a lot of these Christians today. Now, according to Wikipedia, a genetic fallacy is a fallacy of irrelevance where a conclusion is suggested based solely on someone or something's history, origin, or source rather than its current meaning or context. Isn't that what we heard today? Basically, a genetic fallacy is basically just because something is derived or had a certain history at one point, that don't mean that that's what people are doing today. Case in point, Christmas. You got a lot of people, even Pat Robinson, renowned Christian pastor. He said, yeah, we know that Christmas is derived from paganism. It's all pagan. But we do it now for Jesus. It's the intent of the heart. We do it for Jesus. So basically they're right. saying that people like us, we teach against Christmas. We teach in a so-called genetic fallacy. Just because Christmas was originally pagan, that don't mean that how it is today. No, we got to go back to the history of what it originally intended. Then we try to line that up with the scriptures. Because even if you so-called want to say that Christmas is holy and family and, you know, goodness and gingerbread cookies and eggnog, you have to go back to, okay, is this what the Lord commanded us to keep and to do? And throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, the answer is no. But he did give us his high holy days. We can feast on those days. We can gather together with our family on those days. They think that just because we don't keep Christmas anymore, that we don't have any life, we hate our family. No, we're teaching a lot of us, you know, we're having families and everything, and we're teaching our children to keep the high holy days in the Most High. And they don't feel deprived. They don't feel like they're insecure or they're missing out on something. And we try to come just as hard on the high holy days in Christ, just as the people in the world go hard for these faith holidays. So, you know, answering his questions, the Most High is not an insecure God. He's a jealous God. He's a powerful God, and he will judge this world and cleanse the world of all the idolatry when his son Jesus Christ returns. So that was all.
Very good. Very good. So last but not least, Kabah, tossing over to you, type questions or if there's anything else you wanted to bring out in closing about Headmaster, what moral laws he's breaking. How is it any harm of him, you know, decorating a tree? And why, for the life of me, they just pull his tree out of thin air? We know it didn't come out of thin air. We know why the tree was chosen, and a specific pine tree type was fir tree, pine tree was chosen. But then he goes, the other part was, what law am I breaking? And does God need to come out the sky and talk to us and to tell us right from wrong? Did that happen with Christmas? Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, so, you know, no, God is not getting off his throne to come tell anybody anything. He said in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." That's it. So whatever Christ instructs us, that's what it is. You don't want to listen. Israel asked the Most High to want to have a conversation with the Most High when we came out of Egypt and we was in the wilderness. And the Most High started talking, and they said, "You know what, Moses? You let the Lord talk to you, and when he tells you, you come tell us. We don't want to hear anything. We don't want to hear the Lord talk to us no more." And God said, "They are rightly spoken." So you don't want the Most High talking to you, okay? You want to hear what Christ says and do what Christ says. So that's number one. Number two is, I wish we had time to deconstruct this man's fallacy in the way he put logic together, because first he talks about a tree as if some random single object.
Exactly.
And then at the end of it, he talks about the Christmas tree. So either you're talking about a tree by itself. Okay, if it was a tree and it wasn't a problem, why don't you put the tree in your house in June? You cut a tree down and put the tree. You don't do it in June. You do it on December 25th. So when you start looking at it, when you go to Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, it tells you about the custom, the pagan custom of cutting down what we call an evergreen. In the scriptures, they call them fir trees. It's the same thing. You cut the tree down, and what do? Bury it and bring it into their house. Then they fasten it down like they do today. And then they decorate it with silver stencil and gold stencil. Back then, they used real silver and gold to decorate it. Today, what do? Put gifts at the bottom of the tree. Back then, they thought the tree had a demonic spirit of Nimrod, and if they didn't worship it or give obeisance to it, some spirit was going to come out and kill them. So it's the same practices. So let me go into what he's actually describing, though he tried to speak about a tree in and of itself. He's actually describing a custom. Definition of a custom is a group of patterns of habitual activity, usually transmitted from one generation to another. He didn't make up Christmas in the Christmas tree when he was born. It was transmuted to him through generations, and that's what he's following, but today he's trying to justify it. So the scriptures tell us clear about that practice in Jeremiah 10. But let's go to the words of Jesus Christ, who we're supposed to be listening to and following, because that's what God said listen to. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, "As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him," meaning Christ gave straight commandments, sent the apostles out, sent the disciples out, taught that Matthew chapter 4:17, Christ is beginning to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." He had apostles, they went out, Mark section 12, and they taught men should repent. That's the doctrine of Jesus Christ. So that's how we're supposed to be walking. Verse 7, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving," meaning learning the doctrine of Christ, learning about repentance, getting closer to the Heavenly Father, and learning the fruits of the Spirit and becoming stronger and better in them and moving away from the works of the flesh. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Verse 8. It says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you." So when you talk about being spoiled, that's the Greek definition for that word means to carry off, to carry one off as a captive. It means to lead away from the truth and subject to one's sway. So when the scripture talks about beware lest any man spoil you, meaning carry you off captive into what? The wickedness of this world, it means to be a slave to who? The prince of the power of the air, meaning Satan and the devil. We don't want to be spoiled. It also means what? To lead away from the truth, meaning the scriptures as it is written in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And it says, and subject unto one's sway. The sway of who? Satan, the devil. So it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men. So when you talk about that tree and all of the practices of Christmas,
Those are the traditions of men. Now, if you go into that and you follow that, you're being spoiled, which means you're what? Being away, led away captive. You're being enslaved by Satan. You're being led away from the truth and being brought under the sway of the wickedness of Satan, the devil. So it says, wow. After the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, okay, because that's where all of these things come from, the origin of it is pagan and idolatrous and abomination according to the Lord. So it says, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. None of it has anything to do with Jesus Christ. And that's what Pat Robertson told you. But in the very same breath of saying that it's pagan, says it is good because we Christianize it. How do you put those two things together? No idea. But the scriptures show us that these things are evil, wicked, pagan, and abomination to the Lord, and that we are supposed to stay away from it and follow what's written in the scriptures. That's it.
Right. So just so people know that this whole Saturn thing goes into sun god worship going all the way back to Babylon and before, and that the reason the fir tree or pine tree was chosen is because when the days were getting shorter in the minds of men, that tree still was green when all the other trees around were what? Dormant, just by the way, the Most High. So that tree still had life. They thought it had life, and that's why they used the fir tree. That's why you don't see people cutting down tops of maple trees, bringing it into their house. You don't see them cutting down apple trees and cherry trees, bringing it into their house. They picked that tree because of the life it kept during the winter. That's what it was all about, going into sun god worship. This little tidbit. But giving all praises, brothers, I'm going to take it, and we're going to wrap this thing up and bring it home. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures about you want to celebrate it, and you say you're doing it in the name of Christ, but let's look at something the Most High said. St. John, the 4th chapter, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So how do we worship the Most High? According to what? The spirit that he puts on us based on what? His truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, so what's the truth? John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So it's real simple. The way we come to worship the Most High and his Son and Savior, it's got to be based on the word. We cannot add, subtract. We can't philosophize. We can't make weak arguments based on carnal understanding dealing with what to see. Because nowhere in the man's explanations and justifications for dealing with Christmas did he say where these practices and these symbols and these things come from. Because he knows if he would have said where they come from based on what? Wicked, idolatrous practices, sacrifices of babies, and so on and so forth, that would not be what? Profitable to what he's pushing. Because that's what all these things are stooped in, none of which is according to the word that we should be doing. As a matter of fact, according to the word, as the brother brought on Jeremiah 10, we should be refraining from it. So if we come in to worship the Most High in Christ, the only way we can do it as true worshipers, we show we're the true worshipers when we worship the Most High according to his word, because that's what's true. So having said that, for the brother DeWad in New York, the brother Kabar in ATL, the brother Anthony in ATL, I'm your host, Kakunga Bar. We say the question always should be and always is, are you smarter than your pastor? And we say good night.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe. Take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake, on Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom. The Body of Christ Repentance Network, www.thebocc.com.